Over the next 4 months, during the Boston Marathon bombing trial, the tragedy of that day will be replayed over and over again in agonizing detail. The bombing. The manhunt in Watertown.
It was constant gunfire for the entirety of the gunfight.
The shelter in place.
It was pretty scary to see these teams of SWAT teams with their tanks kind of roaming around our neighborhood.
We will hear evidence presented about pressure cooker bombs hidden in knapsacks and the alleged bomber hiding in a boat. We will see video and photographic images of the suspect, horrific and sad stories about limbs blown off and lives shattered, and about resilience symbolized in Boston Strong. The principal legal questions are, did Tsarnaev plant a bomb that killed three, injured dozens, and murdered MIT police officer Sean Collier? But an existential question, one which both the defense and prosecution will attempt to answer, who is Zahar Tsarnaev? In his East Cambridge neighborhood, he was the Russian kid with a friendly smile, passing by Troy Anthony's barbershop each weekday morning.
All-American kids, man. They were good kids. Yeah, I watched the youngest one every day walk by here. Saying hello, going to school.
To Louis Vasquez, his soccer coach at Cambridge Ringe, Tsarnaev wasn't exactly a star athlete.
He wasn't very good. Wasn't the best. Wasn't the worst. Just a middle of the pack kind of player. He was a body on the team, but he's a good guy.
He started out well. He had a lot of support when the family came to the U.S. for asylum. They settled in Cambridge. There was a lot of support for him in Cambridge. He did well with peers, et cetera, known as a very good kid. But there also was a great deal of vulnerability, which I talk about in the book.
The book is Why Good Kids Turn Into Deadly Terrorists, and is written by clinical psychologist Alice LoCicero, a researcher with the Center for Multicultural Training at Boston Medical Center.
For many kids, at a time of greatest vulnerability, someone seems to come along, or they maybe even seek out someone, but then are drawn in by someone who I think of as a recruiter, who somehow convinces them that the best way to have a meaningful life and a meaningful death that will contribute to their cause is through violence.
Does this analysis give credence to Tsarnaev's lawyer's contention that the older, now deceased brother, Tamerlan, had undue influence over Zahar Tsarnaev?
I would say that that is a very plausible argument. I don't know for sure that that's what happened, or even that that's mostly what happened, but it's a plausible argument that at a very vulnerable time in the family's history, and for a lot of past and present vulnerabilities, that the brother who had just returned from some time in Dagestan may have influenced Zahar. I would also say that two different psychologists have looked at Zahar's Twitter feed, and both of them have concluded that it was in the fall when he made his decision to go ahead with the bombing, and that would correspond with just shortly after the brother's return.
Prosecutors have asked Judge George O'Toole to reject this argument. To answer the question of who is Zahar Tsarnaev from their perspective, the U.S. Attorney's Office may call on Tsarnaev's embattled friends from the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth. Diaz Karabayev and Azamat Tazyavkov, two Kazakh nationals and a Cambridge man, Robel Filippos, were all convicted last year of removing incriminating evidence or lying to investigators. There's been speculation that one or more of the men will be called to testify for the prosecution. It was an issue that WGBH's Emily Rooney raised with Filippo's lawyer, Susan Church, following her client's conviction in October.
Is Robel going to be helpful as a witness against Zahar Tsarnaev?
He knows nothing about Zahar Tsarnaev, except that he's absolutely furiously angry with a man who he believes now killed innocent and maimed innocent people.
Well, he must have known him.
He doesn't know anything. He never knew anything about Tsarnaev being radical. He hadn't been on campus in over a month.
He was on probation for being a dope head or something.
He had problems with marijuana use. His mother said, "You're not doing well in school either, so why should I continue paying this money?" And he was only on campus that day to meet with school administrators about his marijuana use. It's the irony and the unluckiness.
Another possible witness in this trial may never actually take the witness stand.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard DeLaurier. I am the special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston Division.
Whose unmasking of the suspected marathon bombers was shown live on national television, a dramatic video that the prosecutors have asked the court to allow them to introduce during the trial.
The only one who was observed planting what we believe to be the device is suspect number two with a white cap.
What time did they put those devices down, do you believe?
I don't have the precise time in front of me. It was shortly before the bomb blast went off.
Within minutes.
The defense described the introduction of that video as inappropriate. At that April afternoon press conference, Delarias explained that the persons being sought should be considered dangerous. Law enforcement officials described individuals who fashioned shrapnel-filled pressure cookers hidden in backpacks and set off by timers that were filled with nails and ball bearings. In other words, individuals willing to inflict severe harm on innocent people. So again, we ask this question. Just who is Jahar Tsarnaev? An affable but off-the-rails 20-year-old who smoked dope, failed in the classroom, and was easily led by an overbearing brother? Psychologist Alice LoCicero.
In the case of Jahar, I would posit that many of the things that he lost, the structure that he lost when he left Cambridge and when his parents moved thousands of miles away and his father was ill and his parents were divorced and the family was losing financial support. And there's so many factors that were likely to have made him vulnerable. And at that time, he lost also the influence and support from the positive mentors that he had in Cambridge. For many kids, they end up with the only mentors that are left for them are people who are guiding them in this terrible direction.
Or is Tsarnaev a stone-cold, non-remorseful terrorist who misled friends and conspired with his brother to kill as many people as possible to avenge Muslims in Afghanistan and Iraq, a confession that police allege he scribbled on the wall of the boat he was hiding in Watertown.
Yeah, we're getting a report from Watertown of 67 Franklin Street. They have a boat with blood on it, and they believe someone's on the boat. If we could deploy SWAT assets down there.
Whoever he is, his story will be spun by defense and prosecutors to their respective advantage during the trial, this third chapter in the Boston Marathon bombing case. The final chapter will be predicated on a guilty verdict and whether Jahar Tsarnaev is subsequently allowed to live or sentenced to die. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston's local NPR.